December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
Shortly after President Roosevelt's speech, Congress declared war. And over the course of World War II, 16 million Americans would don uniforms, and millions more were mobilized by the government to support the war effort. With so many men and women occupied by wartime duties, this left growers in the agricultural industry worried about labor shortages and low-paying agricultural jobs. Responding to this important issue in 1942, President Roosevelt made a deal with the President of Mexico that began our nation's largest experiment with guest workers, the Mexican Farm Labor Program, commonly referred to as the Bracero Program. By the end of the program, 37 states had had Bracero workers. Wherever their location, however, Braceros relied on the growers they worked for to provide housing, food, and medical care. The quality of these varied greatly depending on the grower. The program continued well past the end of the war period to 1964. In those 22 years, an estimated 2 million Mexican men came on short-term labor contracts, and many Braceros did more than one contract. A little-known chapter of American and Mexican history, the Bracero Program touched the lives of countless men, women, families, and communities. Today, we're speaking with Steve Velasquez, an associate curator at the National Museum of American History, to learn more about the Bracero Program and a Smithsonian initiative to document the Bracero's story. Steve, tell us about the project and what it was trying to accomplish.
The Bracero Project was really looking at the relationship between the United States and Mexico at this time in 1940s, 1950s, and sort of issues of labor and issues of policy, but also sort of the everyday life of a guest worker in this period and the legacy that this program left behind in the United States.
Steve, how did this project begin?
Well, several years ago, the museum acquired about 1,700 images from 1956, 1957 from a California photographer named Leonard Nadell. Leonard Nadell went around and photographed the experiences of these Bracero workers, these Mexican guest labor workers, from their homes in Mexico to the contracting process, to the border inspection, to their destination in the farm, and then their farm labor and their everyday life once they got there. So we decided to bring these images to life by going around and recording interviews and the experiences with these workers, but also with the family members, the wives, the mothers, the children, and how the Bracero program affected their lives, and look at how the legacy of the program, how it was felt here in the United States. So we coordinated and teamed up with the University of Texas at El Paso, and then with another few universities, Brown University, and other affiliate sort of host universities too.
The topic of guest worker programs and non-U.S. citizen labor continues to be relevant today. Can you tell us a little more about what makes the story of the Braceros so important?
You know, it's an everyday life story, but it really affects the cultural history here of the United States. It really affected the economy in many places in the country. It was a very large program, and in the end, we think really influenced settlement patterns of Mexican-Americans and really affected the economy, like I said, of many small towns, and really sort of became an important part of the agriculture and labor landscape of the time.
It can often be difficult to decide the direction of a research project. How did you decide the direction of this project?
Well, we knew we had a lot of great images to draw from. And so we kind of used the images from 1956 as a roadmap. We sort of wanted to follow the path that the photographer was taking, Leonard Nadell, when he went to photograph this experience.
What did that look like in practice?
So we would go into a town. We would do a presentation on the Bracero program, the historical program, and then a presentation on the project we were working on and asked for participation. We figured we'd record maybe 50 interviews, but in the end we got about 700 interviews. Most every city, the next morning after these presentations, the next morning before we even got there, there were already people waiting to tell their story. So we knew we kind of hit the mark at that point when there were so many people wanting to share this experience.
This is an excerpt from an interview with Jose Cortez, a man originally from Mexico, but who came to Colorado as a young child with his mother after the death of his father. They both lived and worked on a farm with braceros.
I would remember their stories and, oh, this one's from Jalisco. And I would remember, oh, yeah, he's from where I come from. Wow, I wonder if this is the way my ancestors or my family that lives there still looks like. And it was really interesting. I also saw the hardship that they would go through, because we had a car. I mean, it was an old car, as you can see. It was probably a 1938 or 39 Ford, which took us to the store and back, and sometimes they didn't bring us back. But it got us there, and we were able to get our groceries. But here, these men had to depend either on the rancher or the farmer to take them once a month to buy their groceries. But sometimes when they needed something, or maybe if they just wanted to go into town, they would ask us for rides to go into town. So my parents would always give them rides.
I've listened to a lot of these interviews, and there are some really powerful stories in the Bracero Archive, both inspiring and heartbreaking. How did you come up with the questions to ask to bring out these stories?
Coming to the questions was fairly easy and fairly difficult. We knew we wanted to look at everyday life, how they created a sense of identity and home and place while they were here in the United States, away from their homes in Mexico, and how they sort of lived their everyday life in the farms and in the different housing dormitories. We wanted to know their work experience, what was life like working in the field. We wanted to get issues at pay and housing conditions, and also really wanted to see what the legacy was, what they thought the program meant to them, how it affected their lives, and how it affected their family.
If you could go back, what other questions would you ask?
This topic is really complicated because it touches on labor, it touches on agriculture, it touches on policy, it touches on society. And so there are many different directions to take this type of project. I think for me, how immigrants, even though these were guest workers, how these visitors to the United States or these newcomers make and create a space and a home for themselves, I think is really an interesting type of question, because it involves everyday life. Like, what do they do to, have fun on the weekends? You know, what types of food do they make? What kinds of celebrations do they partake in? Do they celebrate 4th of July, or do they just celebrate Mexican independence, or do they do both? And what are those changes? Those sort of how do these two distinct cultures and places sort of mesh and become something new here?
Was there anything that surprised you during the course of this project?
Yeah, but actually one of the first things that really surprised us, based on previous readings of the program, the Bracero program was always perceived as a very harsh program, and we figured we'd get really negative experiences from all the interviews that we did. But what was really surprising was that it was a program that was both full of conflict, but also full of opportunities for some of these guys. And so those reactions that they were talking about, like, they were able to save enough money to buy a house in Mexico, or send money back to build a bigger house, or the relationships with the workers, with the growers and the farmers were really positive, and they would the farmers would sponsor them, and they would be able to come to the United States. Some of the places they would travel to once they were here in the United States, those kinds of things came out, and we really didn't expect a lot of that.
Do you have advice for students interested in research?
I think for a student interested in doing this type of project, like I said, background research is very important. Figuring out what was life like before, in and around the event or the period, and trying to go for doing lots of reading. You know, there's many people have written books about many events and periods, but is there something new or special or unique that is not in the book? Take, for instance, my interest in the everyday life topic. You know, if you look at the civil rights period, which is about the same period of the Bracero program, a little bit earlier, you have a lot of work on the issues. You know, lots of people have written books about the issues and the outcomes and legacies, but the everyday life when people were marching and gathering, what was going on behind the scenes at the time? And that sort of reveals a lot of new, interesting look at an event and can lead into more interesting questions, I think. So just try to think about something that's not already been written about or talked about.
We hope you take advantage of Hispanic Heritage Month to learn more about and pursue research in the Bracero program or Hispanic history in general. To learn more about the Bracero program, we recommend checking out braceroarchive.org or the National Museum of American History's online exhibit entitled Bittersweet Harvest, the Bracero Program 1942-1964. Regardless of the topic, we encourage you to take forming your research questions very seriously. Get background knowledge to answer your many, many questions, and then see what questions you have that haven't been answered. Pursue this original research through the primary sources available to you, such as the Bracero Archive or the vast digitalized collections of the Smithsonian. And of course, depending on your topic, you can conduct your own oral histories with family members, people in your community, and beyond. If you do, we love to hear about it or see your research. You can email us at historyteachers@si.edu. Also, let us know if you have any ideas for future podcasts. This is Matt Hoffman for the History Explorer podcast. I want to thank Steve for taking the time to talk with us, and thank you for listening. This podcast is made possible from a generous donation from the Verizon Foundation. Music from the Underscore Orchestra's album, No Money, No Honey, All We Got Is Us, creativecommons.org.